I'm looking at this imagination and I'm like, imagination kind of transforms where you are right now and what you see and where you derive that joy rather than from those external sources. And I feel like that just seems so powerful to me. I'm like, maybe I'm not looking right in front of me through the right eyes right now. I feel like I've been focusing on the wrong things perhaps in this thirst for success defined by somebody else rather than acceptance. Like, to me, the word acceptance feels relevant here. It's like I haven't been accepting what I am, who I am, how I am, how this is.
Welcome to The Art of Being Authentic, a podcast dedicated to supporting you in becoming the best version of you using human design, the gene keys, metaphysics, spirituality, and empowered positivity. We live in a world of competing expectations, desires, and demands, those of our true self and those of everyone else, creating an endless tug of war until we learn to let go. That's my story anyway, and that's why I'm here, so you don't have to do it alone. So kick back, relax, and hang out with me. I'm really glad you're here. Okay, so today we have a guest, Jacinta, all the way from Australia, who is here for a breakthrough session using human design and gene keys. How are you feeling, Jacinta?
Oh, so good. I'm excited.
Tell me what's going on in your body. I think it's so helpful to check in these moments.
How am I feeling in my body? To be honest, it's a beautiful, sunny morning here, and I feel warm, and I feel content, and I feel ready for the day, including this. I feel quite relaxed, actually, in my body.
Fantastic. So you're one of the first people to respond to our note to our subscribers, and it was such a joy to see that you came all the way from Australia. Tell us about what situation is frustrating you right now, or where are you stuck and what are you looking for?
So I have a son, he's 4, and it really changed the way that I see my life as a professional woman and a creator of other things other than children. And about 2 years ago, I found myself trying to plot my escape from corporate and to create something that gave me the freedom to be more whole and be more of a parent to my son, but also to bring another child into our family. And what I'd say is I feel like I've spent the last 2 years and waiting for something to change to show me that it was okay to kind of not be some things, if that makes sense, to be bold enough to step away from a very successful like corporate career, which gives me so much positive feedback and sense of fulfillment and accomplishment. And it's like I've been waiting to create something perfect that allows me to see that accomplishment and fulfillment in a more self-generating way. But I haven't really seen that happen, be honest, over these last 2 years. So we're 2 years in. I'm now pregnant right now. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you. And that perfect thing that I was looking for, that hasn't come about, but we are pregnant. This is where we are. We're living this life that I had dreamed of. We live in a beautiful regional area, lots of nature. It's just lovely. And so many things are what I envisioned for myself, but there's this thing back here, this idea that I needed to create something that was a genuine alternative to this successful corporate career, that's not here. That's not here right now. So I think that is kind of the challenge that I face, or this sense of not dissatisfaction. Like, I've always been a person who has constant change, but this sense of wanting to move, wanting to be, wanting to do something that's not here right now. And so that can be really annoying, to be honest. Can be super annoying. particularly when there are so many great things. Like, I've got a beautiful son, a beautiful partner, a home. We live where we want to live. So there's just so many wonderful things, but this underlying sense of something is missing, you know, and I must make that happen. Whether or not that is in line with my actual design, to be honest. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I love that. Did you actually leave your corporate job and you've been mommying for the last 2 years? Yeah. Can you help me understand that?
I started working remotely, actually. So I was in a very corporate, like it was very in person. You must be in the office. I transitioned. I was able to take opportunities that enabled me to be remote and continue to kind of progress in my career, or certainly not step back, but do so really remotely. So I can see how I've really been able to take advantage of opportunities and make it work, to be honest, as I reflect back. But there's still this sense that I'm missing out on something, perhaps, or I'm compromising on something that would make me feel more successful, more accomplished, or missing out on other opportunities.
And how long have you been living your human design and Jing Keys, and how comfortable are you, or disciplined are you in that? Yeah.
I'm not disciplined. So as a general rule, that describes me well. I'm not disciplined, funnily enough, it's around about the 2 years, because it's when we moved here that I actually went and I had my profile done for human design. The Gene Keys is a more of a recent kind of thing that came into my awareness. I feel like I have dabbled in that time. I've become really interested in people who are knowledgeable in this area and can share insights relating to my own behaviors and patterns. And I find that really fascinating and interesting. Yeah. So it's been really cool.
I love that. I want to go to your chart. And first, I want to let the listeners know, I know this can be a little bit frustrating when I'm not fully describing the gates or the channels, because I'm in this live screen share with my guest, and I'm trying to get better at this so that you don't have to be on the screen share, but you can follow along. And I just want to let everyone know that this is Jacinta. What I'm going to be sharing, it's her energetics. So you may share some gates or channels or what have you, but they're going to operate differently because everything affects everything in human design. So whatever's active is going to affect everything else that's active and that's not active. This is where we get our uniqueness in our individual energetic blueprints. So I want everyone to understand that what I'm sharing today is really about Jacinta and the situation she's in. And we're going to see what comes up. So when I was working with it this afternoon, I thought, oh my God, this person is so much fun. I just want to hang around with them. Like, this is in your energetic. They are all about having fun. And this is part of what the challenge is as well, because I feel like one of the uber themes for you is this tension between adulting and still being a kid. I feel like that's one of the big themes that I see in your energetics. And then another one has to do with structure, the fight between structure and unstructure and freedom. And like, these are all in your energetics, the adulting and the kid, the structure and the lack of discipline. It's all in your chart. And that's what I think is so powerful about human design, because whatever people have in their chart, there are going to be elements that feel like they're in conflict, like you're at war with yourself in terms of how to go through life in a way that's easeful, right? Okay, so the first thing I want to do is talk about your connection with your energy type, strategy, and authority. So Jacinta is a 1-3 sacral generator. So I want to hear from you. What is your relationship with your sacral? How do you use it? Do you know what it feels like when you're honoring it?
From dabbling in this over the last couple of years, I'm very much a, like, you can hear the vibration in my voice. I'm very much a hum and an ah and a noise maker about things. Luckily, my loved ones accept and love that about me. So I think that I'm, and it's funny because I relate to it as being expressive, to be honest, because I'm very expressive and I respond to things around me and I react to things around me. I feel it in my body. I'm conscious of the noises that I make, and that's kind of how I connect with this and how it works.
Where do you feel it? Where do you feel it in your body?
I feel it right in the base of my throat. So it's almost between my heart and my throat is where I feel this most of the time. In fact, like when I've done beautiful spiritual work, I remember coming home from a retreat, and I don't know if you're familiar with this old school musical instrument called a kazoo. It's like, yeah, it's totally old school. And I was trying to explain to my partner how I feel and like how I'm vibrating. And I tried to explain it with the kazoo because like the way that it vibrates and it like really, you feel it in your body, in your chest. And I'm like, wow, that's how I'm, what I feel most of the time.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I don't think we can hear enough how people trust their decision-making authority and what it yields in terms of positive results, right? Or challenge, because they didn't listen to it. They let their head get in the way. So I just wonder, do you have any thoughts off the top of your head where you're like, I know a sacral decision. Like, this is the one that really helped me understand sacral, which I know is going through the head to get down to the feeling. Yeah. But because we're a society that has been trained to do everything with our minds, that is the way that we can make our head helpful. So do you have any top of the mind memories of, this is when I knew it was a sacral decision, or here's when I made a not sacral decision? My sacral said no, but I said, yeah, anyway, and it really messed things up.
Yeah. I feel like what happens with me, and it all comes back to like, I don't know, awareness or almost mindfulness really, because I feel that generally I'm definitely a person who makes decisions quickly, who can absorb lots of information or a situation that I'm in. I'm physically in a place and I can get a sense of what I need to do or say or who I need to be with and who I need to connect with. And I think, and I don't know if that does come down to the sacral, but I think that it's having this trust and sense of where I am, what I feel, and really what I feel, not what I think so much. And then as you were asking me that question, I'm actually feeling like generally I feel it, like most of those initial, that vibration relating to something, like here and basically between my throat and my heart. And then there's this connection down to my gut, or like down that kind of, maybe there's a feedback loop that helps me understand really what I need or what I need to do. And then I am human, so there is thoughts that come in there, like as everybody does. And it's really interesting with my partner, who is very much the opposite. So very much takes a long time to make decisions and very analytical and in his head. And that can be at odds, really. So as a person who can communicate and influence people and is in a hurry and has made a decision based on the feel and what's going on right now, how we find harmony in a relationship, that is a really interesting challenge. it's a balance. But yeah, I feel that certainly I have made decisions that were contrary to what my body was telling me, mainly relating to career, funnily enough. So I have taken a job that sounded really fancy, that paid really well, that was all the things that I wanted. But I knew that it wasn't quite right, that there was something culturally not right, that their expectations weren't aligned with what I wanted to give them. and it didn't pan out. I lasted like 2 months.
Wow.
And it sucks because I kind of hated that because I always think I'm capable of so many things, and then I should have all of the jobs that look really good and that I want, but they're not all right for me. So how do I make sure I'm like tuning in and that I've got the right job that is right for me, that makes me feel all of those things? And it's such a tension, to be honest. When you can do so many things, it's hard to not do all the things.
Oh my God. I know there are so many people who are going to resonate with that message and that experience, because what you've just described, this is the unlearning, right? This is the process of learning to trust your decision-making authority, is to make a decision. You make the decision because everything looks right on paper, but that's a message for the head, which is a message for the ego, which is usually about fear and things from childhood that are buried that we're still defending against, right? But it's so deep that we might not even be connected with it, of why we're justifying. Whenever we're in the space of justifying something and it's not coming from your authority, this is the way things work. I love that you have these examples, because it's really important to have two anchoring examples in your body for what it feels like to have made a sacral decision, in your case, that worked out correctly, in a mind decision, a non-sacral decision that didn't work out, so that you know what those things feel like. Because what I tell people when I'm explaining type, strategy, and authority, and because really this is all you need, right? Now, for a lot of people who want to move faster, we want to understand also other parts of our chart, because we really want to know what end, right? What's the payoff if I follow this stuff? It's embodied intelligence. This is not intelligence from the mind. And we are all going to feel it differently. Technically, you're sacral, but look, you're feeling it between the bottom of your throat and your heart. I've not heard that before, but that's where you feel it in you. So when I looked at your design and I just kind of dove in to see, okay, what is this chart saying to me? What are the energies saying to me? To me, when I look at your energetics, there are two sort of core conflicts within your energetics that you have to sort of cycle through. The first is this tension between fixed and being in motion. And so there are a lot of parts in your energy that loves to just be in motion. And it feels like sometimes they're also at odds with the parts of you that are wanting structure. This is where, again, your mind might be coming in and saying, the corporate job is structure, but look what you did. You're like, you're finding a way to make that work for you. When you said, I saw this as an opportunity where I can have the structure, but I can do it on my terms. This to me is the way for you to master sort of everything around these elements of career. The other part of your core conflicts, it has to do with the adulting versus the play. So a lot of what you said earlier was, you talked about this idea of wanting the positive feedback, this underlying sense that something is missing, and a sense of missing out. I love how tender and raw and honest you are when you talk about, I have all of this other stuff that's going just quite beautifully in my life, but I still have this sensation that something is missing. When I look at your chart, I really feel like this is the challenge of the undefined ego, because the undefined ego is always there comparing, right? This is where we want to fit in. We want to know that our work matters. We want to know that we are worthy. And there's a lot of pressure until you can separate from that. There's a lot of pressure to recognize that you're not here in your energetic body to prove anything to anybody. The only thing that matters is that you do what pleases you, what lights you up. And I know this takes practice, but that is the way. And when I think about when you talked about the sacral decision or the not sacral decision, where everything looked right on paper, right? The money, the reputation, the, you know, all of those things, that's a classic decision that's made for people who, and there are 85% of us, I have an open ego, who feel that pressure to perform or to prove themselves, to measure up. And that's just one of those pressures that is operating in you until you're aware of it and you can unplug from it, right? And the other center that's really, really, really creating a lot of pressure for you is the root. And that's completely open, but there are some energies coming from the sacral, the solar plexus, and the spleen pointing to it and putting a lot of pressure on it. And so what this does is, I think of the root. So we know the sacral is where we get all of the energy to produce, right? To be super productive, to get lots of things done. So this is where the busybody energy comes from. The root is where the, what is the phrase I'm thinking of? I think of it as an acorn. The root is the acorn that's just has one mission, which is to grow into an oak tree. It has to become something. So when that root is undefined or open, you're feeling all of that stress and pressure, because this is also about the adrenals, that may not even be yours. And that's the thing about the open and defined, is that you're picking up all of the energies of everyone else until you start to become aware of what are your stresses and pressures and what aren't. So you're picking up other people's stresses and pressures as well, about this underlying sense that something is missing, right? To me, I think that's really coming from that open root center, right? And so there's constantly this pressure on you. What are we going to become? Who are we going to become? How are we going to become? I think that's where that pressure is coming from. I'm going to pause for a second. I don't know that there's anything that you want to comment on at this point, but I want to open that up to you.
Yeah, because I feel like it's funny that you use the word become, because it feels like it's all about becoming something else, becoming something bigger, becoming something that somebody else needs, perhaps. But that feels like maybe it's constant.
It is, and it is a constant pressure. And the good thing is you're aware of it. And so the thing about the root is there's a positive way to work with stress, right? And that's the goal, is figuring out how to do productive things with pressurized adrenal energy, right? It's not meant to be dysfunctional, right? And the way that you're going to be able to manage yourself is, again, it's always following that sacral response, which you know, so you're doing that. But that's always where you're going to wind up in the right situations that are not going to cause that distortion through your root center or any of these other centers of, you know, well, so-and-so is doing that. You have this uber theme of this fixedness of always staying in motion or being still, like there's a little bit of tension there. And I love how you talked about 2 years ago, you were waiting to see if it's okay. I forget what context. Can you remind me? But there was something about waiting.
Did you see,
what was that about?
I was waiting for everything to fall into place so that I could somehow magically work remotely and be all of the things, like be the parent I wanted to be, the partner I wanted to be, but also the professional I wanted to be. And I was so fixated on the need for that change to happen that I didn't see that it was already there, in a way, to be honest.
Oh, that's so nice. Yeah. So when I think of the most powerful things to work with in human design, I think of, again, type, strategy, and authority. We know that one. Profile lines, we know that one. But one of the things I really love is working with the channels. Refresh me, Jacinta, you're still looking to create something that's uniquely you. Is that correct?
So what I'd say is I feel like I've never really had a home. This is sounding deep and meaningful, but I have this deep longing to create this sense of home. So to have somewhere that I belong, that is uniquely mine and that I can invite people here, including my family who I love. And, you know, in the future, to invite others to do what I love to do, to share my knowledge, to teach them and create this in this place that is grounded in this sense of home. I don't know if that language is the right language, but to me, it's this sense of home that I've never felt that I've had. And so bringing all of those things together there where I feel safe and kind of, I don't know, I'm able to nurture myself and others in a way.
When you talk about home, are you talking really physically the home, or so this is less about career? Is this more, this is more about community? What is your sense? Yeah.
I think it's a sense of place. So a sense of place and belonging is probably the right language. It's not a building. It's a place that I belong to, that people know me and like that there is that safety and connection. And I think that when you talk about the tension between motion and structure, like I feel that I am busy, trying to do all the things, trying to accomplish things, but really I want to be safe and stable and home and loved and all of those things. And I think that they can be at odds with one another sometimes.
So what would bring relief? I really want this to be a meaningful experience for you and something that's practical and that you can walk away with. What is it that will help you by the end of this call?
So, and I can't work out if it's a sense of peace and acceptance of where I am and that those things are possible, or that, and I don't know if it's on an authentic reflection or if it's something that I need to just work really hard to create. Like there's part of me that just wants to get busy making that come to life, but there's another part of me who has a lot of other things to do, to be honest.
Okay, that was super helpful. I'm just going to give you a quick overview about your channel energies, because the thing that's so powerful about the channel energies is these are available to us 24/7. They and the profile lines and the defined energy centers, these are things that are always operating in us. And where there is a gate activation, where only one gate of the channel is available, and I'm saying this more for the listeners because I think you have some familiarity with human design, those energies kind of come and go, and they're just not, we can't rely on them, right? But the channels you always have available. And I feel like this is an underutilized tool for people to work with when they're consciously honoring their energetics. And so the things that I wanted to point out, because everything that you just described is fascinating, because it's actually in these two channels. It's in this one, the channel of exploration, which connects the sacral to the self, or the G center of identity. And we call it the explorer. You're creating your own path and you are experiencing all the things. And that's part of what your magic is. And this is where I get into part of why I said you have some of these tensions around the adulting and the kid. I feel like this is a very childlike energy, which is just like, show me, like it's wanderer in the world. And it's diving into all these experiences, but really it's for your own identity, your own soul, your own understanding of you. Like that's why it's there. It's not for other people to come along. People can come along, but that's not what motivates you, right? And the other part, which I'm going to get into, is you have the channel of curiosity. In traditional human design terms, we call it the storyteller. And this is very experiential. It is an energetic that is, you are here to experience life and then to share the experiences of your life with others. And so the reason why I feel like these channels are really important for you to understand energetically is these, to me, if you're creating something, you want to create a space, right, that's your own. These are the energies that are going to be most reliable for you to do that. And both of these, you're conscious of them. And so in a second, I want to hear if you actually identify with these, because I would imagine you do, because they're part of your personality. And in human design terms, the personality is what we're consciously aware of. It's how we see ourselves. And the design is the red, in it's how others see us, right? But oftentimes we don't see that because it's so in our nature, right? And so the last one is this channel here, which is the channel of rhythm. And half of it is unconscious, the gate 15. And guess what? The gate 15 is all about extremes, right? It is about those extreme timing versus the five, which is more predictable and structured. So to me, what we're calling it is, we've been calling it the metronome, but I think we're going to change it and call it the river, because I think the river is much more descriptive or illustrative of what is the underlying energetic in that. And the idea behind the river is the whole point of you with your flow is you need to find your flow. Your flow, what you did when you recognized an opportunity to work at home, to make the whole work from home work for you, that was bliss for you. I mean, you could see all of your channels coming together, right? The exploration, I'm going to make this an adventure, right? Because that's part of the exploration itself. But also you found a way to create flow for yourself in your own environment that was different than the flow at the office. This to me is really a dominant energetic, and it seems kind of boring, but to me, if you're not aware of this energetic, I feel like you could end up fighting yourself a lot in terms of how you spend your time, how much you allow others to interrupt your time. The idea behind this energetic is you find your flow, like in your family or your friends or your community, and the others in your life will build their flow around yours. But you need to honor your flow, period, right? And to me, I'm going to combine this with some of the other stuff in your chart right now, because you can see how if you're not at peace with your own flow, right? Your own, the way you're really, it is the flow of life for you. If you're not in touch with that moment to moment, hour to hour, day to day, you can see how, and also half of it you're unconscious about, right? And so there's, even though you have this entire channel available to you, you're probably wondering, why do I not want to be structured in this moment? Well, because you're actually built that way. There are times when you don't want to be structured, right? There are times when you do. And the reason why I think it's really important is if you're not aware of this sort of inner battle, then this is the right territory where things like the undefined ego chime up with, hey, we should do something that's more important than what we're doing right now. Or, you know, the root, are we becoming fast enough, right? Again, this is when the rest of your chart, the parts where we're more conditioned, and because it's been a lifelong onslaught of other people's energies telling us who we need to be or how we need to be or who we need to become, that's what starts to come in and take us off course. And again, when you just follow your sacral, it will guide you back. And the last thing that I'm just going to say that adds a pressure for you is your split. You have a really simple split. So each of us in our energetic designs, it's like circuits. Our circuits all want to be joined to each other. And if they're not joined naturally in our design, they're going to really put a lot of pressure on us energetically to try to close that gap, right? So either we get it through people in our lives, or we just have this constant feeling of this tug, right? And the 20 is all about the now. And so you can see how it's this moment. So again, it brings up this whole impatience about the becoming, this impatience, our opportunities passing by, this impatience of all these things, instead of recognizing you have everything you need. You have everything that matters to your identity, which is defined, to what's important to you. And that is enough in this moment, right? Anyway, I'm going to pause for a second and just see if anything resonated with you or what other things have come up for you.
It all resonates with me because I feel like, with our backwards D shape there, for me, it feels like what sprung to mind was it's like this sense of joy. So for me personally, my identity, one of the key things that I feel like is me is joy. That sounds very strange, but to me, I just know that there is this like really bright, loving, warmth, fun, absolutely engaged with the world where I am right now. And it's joyous. Like it almost brings a tear to my eye, to be honest. And I feel like that's who I am. And that's who I want to be like as much time as I possibly can. And I feel like and it's interesting because I hadn't explored those open centers and how they're noisy, sneaky little creeps stealing attention away who I am. But I also feel like it's interesting as a parent now to my son's now 5 actually. And I'm like, to be like joyous with him, to be exploring our environment, to be curious about everything that's going on and to just love that, not knowing the answers. And I can just see how much positive energy that I gain from that and he gains from that. How interesting to think about how much the world gains from more of that as well. I feel that like that's who I am, to be honest. However, I feel like I quiet that out for the other things so often. So the to-do list or the next meeting, you know. So it's just interesting to be aware of that or to think about that.
You are built for that joy. And the other thing I want to do before we move to the Gene Keys portion is this gate 63 in the head, that is the gate of doubt and it's unconscious. This is why it's so important just to know, this is what's really going on because your undefined head is going to try to sell you again, a bill of goods that is not joy. I mean, that's what's so funny. Our undefined and open centers are there to do the opposite. Right? They're to sell us on fear, on not being good enough, on not being enough. And we actually have to do something in order to be. And the reality is, no, that's not the way it works. We have to be, and we follow our authority and our energy type. And that actually guides us into the relationship situations that are correct for us. I mean, we still make plans. We still do all of that, but with loose detachment, right? You still want a vision. You have a vision and it is loose. It's not specific. You know that it's not a specific home, but it is the sense of place that you're creating. And I'm telling you what you just said, I am joy. The fact that it brings a tear to your eye is, I mean, that's truth talking to you, right? That's the spirit world in my book anyway. Talking to you and saying, that's exactly how pure it is. The fact that you're connecting with your son on that level and seeing how wonderful that is for the world to experience joy through his eyes. And you're right there with him, right? Right there at his level. And I really feel like this is your gift is, again, you're the storyteller, the explorer, and the river. And this is all about the power of discovery and sharing your stories with the world or with your son. The world might just be your son. It might be the family. It might be your community. But this is all part of how you're designed to operate. So I love using the Gene Keys as an overlay to human design because human design is excellent at telling us where we're conditioned so we can be aware of it and bring awareness to that. It's also telling us how we're built and where our strengths are and where our potential is. And it tells us how we can align with that, which is energy type, strategy, and authority, and to do that religiously. Well, I'm a manifesting generator. I'm super impatient. And I know you have that in you as a generator as well. You want to do all the things. And I wanted faster ways to master my blueprint, to master my energetics. And I started to work with the Gene Keys early last year, and they're just absolutely transformative because the way they work is some of the gate activations in your chart are more important than others, and they may be part of a channel or not. So remember when we were talking about the human design portion of this, the channels, from my perspective, is what I was really emphasizing, but we go to the Gene Keys and the gates are, they can be part of a channel or not. And they just have to do with really the planets that are associated with them. And so what I like about the Gene Keys is this is how you can use your energy to heighten your frequency. And so I pulled the four prime gifts that are from the activation sequence in the Gene Keys. And those are your personality sun, your personality earth, your design sun, and your design earth. What I love about these, so what's in italics is the energetic of being in shadow. And I love talking about shadow. Each Gene Key has a frequency range. And on the lower end is the shadow, which is, you know, energy that's kind of stuck, and it's really stuck in sort of ego, repressive, or more of a reactive nature. And there's shadow, gift, and city in the Gene Keys lexicon. And the city is really that enlightened state where we're all kind of above it all. So it's where you really ultimately arrive. The gift is the path from shadow to city. And so what I loved when I was looking up your Gene Keys, what the ones that, you know, intuitively rang a bell and I felt, I think these are going to be important, are, again, your 35.1, the shadow is hunger and the gift is adventure. The evolution is gate 15, the shadow is impatience and the gift is patience. The radiance Gene Key, the shadow is doubt and the gift is inquiry. And then the purpose is the shadow is confusion and the gift is imagination. And the thing that I really loved about these from your story is, to me, it seems like you are doing a lot of wonderful things. You have arrived in a wonderful place, but you're also a little bit in high functioning shadow. And this is how I found myself, is that I was in high functioning shadow because we're still able to really achieve and accomplish a lot. And in your case, I feel like the high functioning shadow is stealing your joy. Like for you, that's actually what it's attacking, which is what you were saying earlier. When you're in a state of hunger, like you cannot be satisfied. I just need to keep having experiences, because you feel like, you know, that you, like the world is passing you by or what have you. Instead of getting in front of that, to me, the gift is always about being much more circumspect and deliberate, right? And instead of having an energy dragging you and tugging at you, this is you now getting in front of that. And so anyway, so I'm wondering if you have any thoughts on that between the hunger, impatience, confusion, and doubt. To me, those feel like they're very resonant with the things that you were saying at the start of this about what your mental state is, or not mental state, but your, just the state of things, like the situation. Mm-hmm.
No, I really love them. I do, like, they totally resonate. I feel like that there is like a longing for adventure. Like the word longing feels like an appropriate word here. It's like this longing for something, longing for joy, longing for fun. And I just wonder whether I'm looking at this imagination, and I'm like, imagination kind of transforms where you are right now and what you see and where you derive that joy rather than from those external sources. And I feel like that just seems so powerful to me. I'm like, maybe I'm not looking right in front of me through the right eyes right now.
That's so beautiful.
So, because I feel like I've been focusing on the wrong things, perhaps, in this thirst for success defined by somebody else rather than acceptance. Like, to me, the word acceptance feels relevant here. It's like I haven't been accepting what I am, who I am, how this is. I've been fighting to kind of break out of that and then not honoring that flow. And then sort of stealing all of this beautiful, positive aspects of life. But yeah, I'm certainly impatient. Like I feel myself often feeling impatient that I want to get to the next step rather than to be here enjoying this, accepting this. Yeah.
You gave me such waves of truth bumps when you were when you were sharing just now, and it's profound. I mean, it's so profound. Yeah. Saying you have the answer. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong things. What a great, profound statement. Right? The thing I love about the Gene Keys is it really is the map for you to see what your potential is, and that it's actually right there in you. It is not outside of you at all. That's the power of this. It is not outside of you. But it can be really hard to shift because it's a new muscle, right? Mm-hmm. So the muscle of imagination, right? Or the muscle of inquiry. What could I do differently today? I don't know. I don't know how it will play out in your world, right?
Mm.
And what does it mean to be patient? And maybe it is, how would my son see this moment, right? I mean, children are so good at being mesmerized, right? By the simplest things.
Yeah, I think, and so I work in a creative industry, and imagination resonates with me, like as a professional person, but also just this sense of like, we can work it out. If we don't know, we can work it out. We can find the end. And I think that's a different way to see doubt. It's like a healthy uncertainty that leads me to investigate what I need to know to move forward and to continue to create. So I really feel that makes so much sense for me, like in my work as well. It's really powerful.
So those four Gene Keys are part of the activation sequence. And I'll put a link in the show notes for people who want to learn more about that. And the next one that I included was this one, which is part of the Venus sequence, which is about relationships. This particular sphere is about attraction, and it's about relationships and the energy that you're calling in, or what pulls you into different relationships with different people. And the shadow here, and for whatever reason, and I don't know, maybe intuitively it felt like an important one to bring in, and I have no idea why. But it felt to me like this whole range of compromise to competence felt important. And I think the reason why it felt important to me is that in your application, I think it felt to me like you might be settling for a certain dynamic in your life in terms of relationships. Maybe it's people you're working with. Maybe it's people in community. It could be people that you no longer see the same way with, or I don't know, but and that actually might be dragging you down a little bit. Again, you now know when you're in flow with the true soul of who you are, my sense of you is joy, right? Like that is how you know when you're in flow with everything, all the dynamics in your chart. And so anything that takes away from that is shadow, right? Or conditioning. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm just curious if that resonates with you in any way.
If it does, so I definitely resonate with the shadow here. Like I know that I compromise, I let things slide, I forgive people, you know, of the things that maybe don't align with me or my values, to be in service of people sometimes in a work sense. So I'm curious about what the other side of that looks like. Yeah.
Yeah. You just said to be in service. So there are a couple of things that are going on here in your human design.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Again, it's like, I've got to prove myself to this person. So for whatever reason, and you're giving of your energy, which is a very valuable resource when you really shouldn't. And that's part of, again, the undefined or open ego. And also, it's just easier to do it than to speak my truth. That's the solar plexus that's undefined, because I don't want to ruffle any feathers and I don't want to hurt any feelings. And it's just easier to forgive than to be truthful about, this is infringing on a boundary. I'm making stuff up right now, but you get where I'm going with this. Yeah. And the competence is really just the energetic. I think of it as intentionality. To me, it's sort of a boundary, right? At that level, it's not just a free-for-all, right? The competence is, it almost is more resonant of the bargain, right? Some sort of, you're agreeing in an exchange, right? And if you're not qualified, then you don't get to be part of that exchange kind of thing, right? Yeah,
that's interesting, because I see it, like I've made some observations, like in my relationships, it's sort of like when I'm clear on what I want and I communicate what I want, things really shift, like things really flow. There's better connection and those people are participating in the things that I care about, but I needed to make it known. I couldn't just keep coasting and ignoring and compromising, perhaps. And I don't know whether that was intentional, but I've just noticed it. Like when I'm able to kind of show them what I want, or, you know, let them see.
That is so powerful, because that's also, whether it was conscious or not, to me, I feel like when we're honoring our sacral, it sets the stage or the foundation for us to also have healthy, undefined or open centers operating as well. And to me, that's what's really going on with you when you are speaking your truth. You're in alignment with your sacral and as well, right? We know that the sacral always sets the groundwork. When the conditioning of the open or undefined centers do not get in the way of a good decision. So what you just said, I don't know why, but when I speak my mind in these certain situations and say what I need, everything works out and opens up in a new way. Like that, that's how it should work. The other thing that I wanted to bring out, because this one I think is really powerful, about the imagination sphere, the purpose. So this sphere is an energetic that is part of the Venus sequence about relationships, and also part of the energetics of the genius sequence, right? Which is really all about you and your prime gifts. And what I think is really interesting is this three line. So it's 64.3. The energetic behind it is stability through movement. And so we've been talking a lot about flow, and your three line is for you, feeling stagnant is like death, right? Like you do not want to feel stagnant. And I think, again, look at your channel of exploration, you know, as the explorer, like you have this need to keep going out and experiencing life, the storyteller, you have this need to go experience life and share your experiences of life. And so I just wanted to bring that to your attention, that you need to stay in motion. And that's part of, so look at all of these open, you know, the undefined center, the root, we talked about the becoming. Do you see how the conditioning of all of these undefined and open centers is creating pressure for you to keep moving? And even though this is stability through movement, there could be, I don't know if it's too much movement, but maybe the wrong kind of movement. It's just movement for the sake of movement instead of movement that's intentional. To me, this is all about going from the unintentional, I just doing things and being busy is where I'm most comfortable, to having that moment of pause to really check in with, am I in shadow here? This has actually been part of my practice. Am I in shadow when I, with my certain keys? And mine, just to share with you, this happens with me with my gate 9, which you have 9 as well. I don't know if it's on your gene keys, but it's in your human design chart. And the shadow is inertia, which is this feeling of overwhelm, and the gift is determination. And I've got overwhelm in a really prominent part of my gene keys. And so I am always looking to see, okay, I'm in this feeling of overwhelm. What can I do to shift my energy? Because it's what you said at the very beginning, that awareness is half of it, right? Mm-hmm. Just knowing. And then the second part is how to get out of it. So the last part I want to talk about is in your pearl sequence, your pearl gate is gate 34 from the sacral, which is really, really, really powerful. But the shadow of it is forcing versus simply being strong and capable. And I'm just wondering if that, how that resonates for you. Because again, someone with open root and all these other things that we talked about, and this impatience, do you see how they all start to kind of work with each other to keep us from our joy in your case? And I'm just wondering how that resonates, because this is also has to do with your prosperity. So the pressure that you're feeling to become something, to figure out when you're thinking about career and how am I going to create my own, you know, business or what have you, the key thing is to really distinguish, am I trying to force something to happen before it's time, or should I just chill right in this moment, enjoy what's happening in my life, you know, with my child that's coming, with my child that is, and observe and be present and allow ideas to come to me that I can respond to. Anyway, I just am curious what comes up for you.
Oh, it totally resonates with me. I feel like I have been conditioned to push, push, push. Like, I know that I am not a manifester. I am a generator. And I know that I'm supposed to be responding, not driving everything. And I feel like this kind of encapsulates this sense of pushing, pushing, forcing, make it happen. And I think that it's like making it happen for the wrong reason, making it happen for ego-driven reasons, because it looks good to people, rather than that, like just being in integrity with who I am and what is genuinely needed. So I feel like that's a really interesting distinction that I haven't explored before, to be honest, this sense of strength without force. Because it feels passive, but passive is maybe not a generous word to describe it. But yes, I'm definitely a person who forces things due to impatience.
Yeah. And I love when you were just talking about doing it with integrity. That's really this gate 10 of your identity, which is it, which is part of the self and G center of energy and part of that explorer channel. And yet this is super, super important to you. And there are so many wonderful things. Like, to me, I feel like the way I use my chart is there are a couple of channels. Like, for me, I had to really prioritize them because I think I have 6. How do I use these energies in harmony, right? And I'm curious what comes out for you. Like, even though we've only been talking for a short while, what comes up for you in terms of how to use your channel energies, if anything, going forward that might be different in terms of the storyteller, the explorer, and the river, and honoring the flow of time and your relationship to time and allowing more. I'm just wondering if what comes up for you as a result of this that might shift that you can start doing. Yeah.
Well, to be honest with you, because I've been sort of thinking about it, it's actually the channels in the center there. So like this sense of needing to accept kind of the flow of the life that I have right now, and to bring that curiosity and excitement and exploration into that life that I have right now. I feel that I've been really distracted, and it might be from the root and the ego, like with all of these other things that other people are doing that I totally could do because I'm really clever and capable. But in pursuit of those things, I've been wasting my energy in a lot of cases. Or like it's just not been on center somehow. Like I think that I haven't been wielding it in the right way. I think I need to bring it back home to myself, sort of, and to see how that feels for me. The sense of flow and rhythm really resonate with me as well. Like this, just the way that my days flow. And it also resonates with this sense of joy, to be honest. Like, you know, when you're in your bliss, in your space, and you're humming a tune, whatever that looks like, I feel like this is all part of what it means for me to be living joyfully and at ease and, you know, being all that I am. So I feel like there's something in there that I'm going to take away with me. Yeah. I feel like I've been a bit almost detached from who I am by focusing on all of those other things, you know, that successful career or that job that wasn't the right job for me. And it's been a distraction. So,
yeah, I mean, for everyone, our satisfaction, like who we are, does not come from the outside. And that's really what I love about human design is it's giving us all a tool or a blueprint so we can unplug, right? Mm-hmm. And it is when we start to see all the places that aren't colored in terms of our energy centers in particular and how those operate and how they're actually aggravating us. And they're, again, I'm just going to use you because of your, I love it. I mean, you in particular, it's stealing your joy. I mean, it steals everyone's joy. But for you in particular, I think that really is a very innate part of how you're supposed to show up in the world. And it is through, mm-hmm. as you said, that channel, your integrity, you know, that's that gate 10 in the identity. That I think being joyful is part of that identity for you. And it's being joyful about what's true for you, no one else. And that's where you're correct. All of these open and undefined centers are creating this pressure, and where you bringing awareness to that and allowing that split second is this. This is where Byron Katie's work, if you're familiar with the work of Byron Katie, yes. It's so powerful, yeah. Because this is where you can start inserting, is it true? Right? Everything looks better from the outside, right? Everyone's life looks better from the outside. And you don't know what's on the other side of that, right? So to be able to really be our own supporter and challenge ourselves, my business partner calls it the living inquiry, right? She doesn't go through and do all the detailed worksheets, but in the moment, is that true, right? Recognizing when a thought that's not yours is coming in and trying to talk you out of just being. And it's funny because where you are right now, and I hope that we'll stay in touch and you'll connect again, you know, whenever you feel inspired. But I feel this sense that there is an opportunity for you through this path of joy and just paying close attention to you, creating space that celebrates you. And again, you find your flow in that, and the world is actually going to build itself around you. And there's something about the storytelling that keeps coming up for me too. You said you're in a creative industry. I don't know where that is. It doesn't matter, but creative industries often have the component of storytelling, right? I mean, that's what we're doing right now is storytelling. And so it just makes me wonder if there isn't something in all of that as you start to go inward into what brings me joy, and somehow helping to create that for others, right? Bringing others on that journey who need that, who might be in your very same situation. And that maybe there's something in just continuing to follow your joy and your sacral to see what it tells you, where it guides you. But anyway, it feels like there's something for you there professionally. We just don't know what form it takes right now.
Yeah, I love that. I have to admit that does resonate because I feel like I've been focusing on these outward things rather than just being myself and finding joy in that and connecting with people around that. yeah, I think there is something in there.
Yeah.
Keep you posted.
Do. And so any final takeaways? So what are three things that you might do going forward that you've been reminded of about who you are and why you're here?
Yeah, well, I think that it's, you know, anchoring back into my own sense of joy and playfulness and acknowledging where it's coming from and the value that it brings and offers, because it brings that value to me and also to my family. What else? I think there's a sense of flow, because it's really interesting. So when I started, well, actually, when I returned from maternity leave, like all of a sudden I realized that my life or my life schedule was not really my own anymore. And then it's like constant evolution of how I relate to my own time and how I make moments of time for myself and for other purposes, if that makes sense. So like reconnecting with that and reconnecting with a sense of like empowerment and ownership of my time as well. So I feel like there's something powerful in owning the flow of my time and taking what I need from it. What else? I feel that there was something interesting as well with the compromise versus competence relating to relationships, because I think that's a bit untapped for me as well, to be honest, because I've seen it in my immediate relationship, like more in a case of feeling more empowered and like genuinely feeling better connection when I've been able to take some ownership of my needs. It's almost like with my own competence comes more competence and connection through my relationships. But how that applies to my work relationships as well, I feel like there's an opportunity to scratch away at that a bit more.
I'm really grateful that you are here, that you trusted me to be a co-traveler with you, and you just threw yourself in, which when I saw your channel of exploration, of course, I'm very grateful to meet you and to know you. And I'm really excited to see where your design takes you, and you'll have to stay in touch.
Thank you. No, I'm really grateful for all of that beautiful, rich information that you've shared with me. It's just been amazing, enlightening, beautiful to connect to myself and to connect with you. Thank you.
I love that. Thank you. Okay, so we'll see you later, and stay in touch. To be continued.
Thank you for listening. If you found this episode insightful or inspiring, please share it with the people in your life who might benefit. People like you who are learning about or living their human design and gene keys to become their best, most authentic self. Remember, there is nobody else like you. There never has been, and there never will be. You came into this world for a reason and a purpose that only you can fulfill. And your human design is the first step to remembering. For more information, head on over to beauthentic.co.